Jonah, get there real quick, and you listen quick, and I'll try to preach quick, but it'll be good. Amen? This is a familiar text for most of us, but there's a lot of things in it, and I think God will speak to us this morning. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.' And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, 'Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou?' And he said unto them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land.' And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, 'Why hast thou done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, 'What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous.' And he said unto them, 'Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, 'We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee.' So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice in the Lord, and made vows. And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the privilege we have of being here today. And I pray that you meet with us. Lord, that we're aware of your presence. You speak to each and every heart that's here. Lord, you know our needs, Lord, and there's a multitude, Lord, of needs here today. You speak to hearts about it. Lord, your will and way, we pray, will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message today, has the Lord prepared you a fish? As I said a few minutes ago, a familiar story, a familiar text for us, and there's a lot in it. A lot in this text. You could probably preach in it for months out of it. But I got just 3 points I want to talk to you about this morning as we look at what took place with Jonah. The very first point is this, preparing to run. We see in the text in verses 1 through 3 that God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city. The people were no doubt didn't know God. He said, "Listen, I want you to go there and I want you to preach the word of God." And of course, Jonah didn't want to go. And I thought about this as I started thinking about that fact right there. You ever wonder why that God just didn't get somebody else? You know, Jonah doesn't want to do it, right? I mean, he's not willing. As a matter of fact, he's so bent on going the other way that he goes and pays money to go. I read one time, I think it was like a 1,000-mile journey in the opposite direction, something like that. It was a long way. And I always wondered, you know, why didn't God just get somebody else to go if Jonah doesn't want to do it? And, you know, that applies a lot today. I think that God's people wish this all the time. God's got a commission for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think 99% of the Christians are just wishing God would get somebody else to do it. You know, I get calls from people a lot of times. "Preacher, I got this relative of mine, you know, and he really needs the Lord." This is from a Christian now. "He needs the Lord. How about you going and seeing? Hey, God laid him on your heart. How about you going and seeing?" I don't have nothing against going and seeing him, but you know what? We can't pass the buck all the time for somebody else to do it. You know, God's got a commission for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's not somebody else's job. The government's not going to do it. The school's not going to do it. The heathen's not going to do it. The atheist is not going to do it. It's up to God's people to go out and, to preach the word. You think about Jonah. You know, why didn't Jonah want to go? I mean, there's all kind of theological explanations. Well, they were wicked people and he didn't like them and he had prejudices and all those types of things. And they're probably all true. I don't doubt that, but there's deeper problems there. Number one thing is, Jonah had a wrong attitude about things. A lot of wrong attitude about the will of God. You know, a lot of times we think that obeying the will of God is just going to be for the benefit of whoever God sends us to go see. You know, that's going to help them. The Ninevites would get, they did have a big revival, lasted about 100, 125 years before they fell back away, but that it would be for the benefit of them. But I want you to know something. If you're here and you're saved as a child of God, that obeying the will of God is as important to you, to God's servant, as it is to the people that He's sending you to serve. Because listen, I look around and when I look at Christianity today, so many of God's people are complacent or indifferent. They're cold towards the things of God. They don't have a fire. They don't have a zeal. And along with that is there's no joy on their face. They don't have any satisfaction in their life. They don't have any peace in their life. And the problem is because we're not doing the will of God. We're running from God, and you'll never have those things while you're running from the will of God. Listen, in obeying God's will, we find our spiritual nourishment. We find our enlightenment. We find our enablement, our joy, our satisfaction, our peace, our purpose for life. Listen, if you're not fulfilling, anybody that doesn't fulfill their purpose in life is not going to be happy. I don't care whether they're saved or lost. If they're not doing what they were made to do, anything that's not doing what it's made to do misses its purpose in life. So Jonah had a wrong attitude about the will of God. Jonah also forgot that the will of God is an expression of God's love. You know, not only did God show that He loved the Ninevites, God was showing Jonah that He loved him. You know what? When God calls us to serve Him, listen, He's loving the people that He wants us to serve, but He's also showing that He loves us. He also had a wrong attitude about the Word of God, along with a lot of other people. You know, this is another issue I see in Christianity today, that so many people think that God's Word is a take it or leave it proposition. You know, that I'll just take it or leave it. They think that church, worshiping God, is just a take it or leave it deal. You know, I'll just do it if I feel like it or if nothing comes up right there. Listen, His Word, His church, His service is not a take it or leave it deal. It's not for the people of God. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. That's a good time for the crickets to be playing on the microphone right now. Quiet out there, boy. Quiet right there. Listen, think about this. It's not. Listen, it's God's Word. He forgot what a great privilege it was to be a prophet. Man, just what a privilege that Jonah had. You could look at it like this. See, a lot of people, when God calls them to do something, they say, "Oh, man, why me?" You know, instead of saying, "Man, God thought, God wants me to do it. You know, God wants me to do it. God's asking me to serve Him. Of all the people that He could have asked, He wants me to do it." And I'm going to tell you what, Jonah was effective at it too. Because when it's all said and done and he goes to Nineveh, man, they had a great revival there. I mean, there was over 1 million people, man, that got on fire for God after Jonah went and preached. Man, Jonah was the right man. He was the right man. But, you know, a lot of times we forget this. What a privilege it is to be saved. Huh? What a privilege it is that God gave us a commission. See, a lot of people look at the commission like the great burden instead of the great commission. Oh, man, God wants me to go carry the gospel out. Instead of saying, "Oh, you know what? What a privilege that God wants me to entrusting me to do it." Don't forget about what a privilege it is to be a child of God. What about a privilege to hear the Word of God? Man, alive, I mean, of all places we could be. I don't care where there's nothing, no place better you could be today than right here, somewhere where you're hearing the Word of God. That's a privilege that God would say, "Listen, I'm going to reveal to you, I've got the Word right here. I'm going to reveal to you my heart. This is a love letter from God. I'm going to reveal my heart. I'm going to reveal my thoughts. I'm going to reveal my will. I'm going to reveal my plan to you." That's a privilege that the God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, would just want to share anything with me. I'm an unimportant person. I'm nothing that God wants to share that with me. It's a privilege to know, to hear God's word, and then along with that, a privilege to know God's will. Amen. Why does God got to tell us what He's going to do? He doesn't. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to, but He does it. See, when you love somebody, you want to share things that's going on, and you know what you share with them. What are you doing? What are you thinking? That's what God wants to do with us. You know, we lose track of that. The problem with a lot of Christians today, you've been saved so long, and you done heard all this stuff. See, as soon as I preach on Jonah, you say, "Well, I know what he's going to say. I preached on that before. You already know what I'm. You know all the buzzwords. You know what? You just hear them, and they're in one ear and out the other while you're daydreaming about football, food, and baptism and all that. You know, you can dream about anything, multitask. I can do it while I'm preaching. I'm thinking about it now while I'm talking to you. You know, we do it all the time. We get jaded to that. We get used to it. But we really don't sometimes sit down and take stock of the privileges that we have, that God, of God's grace, that God just hadn't gone ahead and killed us already. You know, that God said, listen, I mean, you know, the Ninevites, man, I mean, and Jonah, and you're going to see God's grace all through. You know, a lot of people think, oh, the Old Testament, it's law. And listen, there's so much grace in the Old Testament, I couldn't preach it all. If I preached it every Sunday for the rest of my life, you couldn't preach it all. The grace of God. Why didn't God just kill the Ninevites if they was wicked? Why didn't God just kill Jonah and get somebody else? Huh? Why didn't He just leave him in the whale's belly? He had grace on the whale, that's why. He didn't leave him in there, man, spit him up on the bank. Huh? Listen, he had a wrong attitude about the circumstances. So many people are funny about how God operates. They think, and we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. If everything's going smooth and the doors are all opening up, then that must be the will of God. And then as soon as the door closes, that must mean God don't want me to do that no more. Right? You know, that's how we think about it a lot of times. You know, when old Jonah says, well, listen, I don't want to go. So he goes bebopping on down to the shipyard or wherever they had the ships. And guess what? There's a ship sitting there ready and willing to carry him 1,000 miles away, however far it was, to Tarshish. It's running on time. They got an opening. He's got the money. He's thinking, man, everything's just falling into place. This must be great. He's so peaceful about it that he goes down in the ship and just, he's not, his conscience isn't bothering him. Well, I got peace about it, preacher. I prayed about it and I got peace about it. Look at me. I'm sleeping like a baby. But was he in God's will? No, he wasn't in God's will. And so a lot of times we think, you can rebel against God and have a false sense of security, because I'm going to tell you what, this whole world we live in out here is rebelling against God, and it has a false sense of security. Look at the world we live in. Most of the world is shaking its fist in the face of God. And in God's grace, He's not sending those lightning bolts down. Huh? Yeah, God's grace, you know, it's not in man's hand. And it's a good thing. I've often said, if I was like Elijah, boy, I tell you, it's a good thing I'm not. Call that fire down out of heaven. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Huh? There wouldn't be nothing but burn up chairs in here. Oh, man, I mean, you know, God is long-suffering. God has got grace. And so, you know, that world and the world has, don't, just because everything is going all right for you, doesn't mean you're in God's will. Amen. Doesn't mean you're in God's will. His whole life was in a downward spiral. It was downward in decision, downward in direction, downward in discernment, and downward into darkness eventually. Listen, if you want to run from God, I'm going to tell you something. Satan will have a ship backed in with the motor running, ready to take you away from God's will in a heartbeat. Huh? You don't got, if you want to run from God, listen, Satan will provide. He'll have a limo pull up and a guy get out and open the door and escort you right in. They'll just drive you on off into the sunset. Yeah, you can find that any day of the week. Running from God doesn't necessarily mean physically either. Listen, there's people that's no doubt sitting right here today. And I don't know if somebody says, oh, somebody told him something about me. I don't know anything about it. I'm just saying, I could say this in any church. I could have 5 people in the audience and I could say this. You could be sitting right here and there probably is somebody sitting right here today running from God. You can be in church running from God. Yeah, you can be a church member running from God. I mean, Jonah, I'm looking at Jonah. Jonah's a prophet of God. I mean, he's got to be what we would call a saved man in the New Testament. He's a saved man. He's running from God. He don't want to do what God wants him to do. He ran to Tarshish. You know what his excuse? A lot of people say, well, he didn't want to go to the Ninevites because they were wicked people and he didn't like them. He ran to Tarshish. Guess what? Wicked people. Hey, listen, man. Here's God and he's good. This is goodness right here. You're going to God, you're going to good. The only opposite of that is bad. And if you're not going to God, everything else is bad. I mean, he's going to evil. That's all he could have ran to. But when you run from God, listen here, your life is going to unravel. And maybe it won't unravel overnight, but it'll unravel. It was a slow deal for Jonah, man. I mean, listen, because you think, why doesn't God stop me? When I take that first step away from God, why doesn't God stop me right there? Because grace of God, long-suffering. You know, God let Jonah go all the way down, buy the ticket, get on the ship, and the ship starts sailing. Why didn't God just stop it along? See, a lot of people think that's how God's will is going to work. Well, if God don't want me to do it, he'll just stop me right off the bat. No, because God gave us a free will, and you know, you have to act on that will right there. Now, you can reap the circumstances of, you know, bad decision, which we're going to see right here in just a second. So we got Jonah there. He's preparing to run. He's trying to run. But then we find out that God prepared a fish. God's got to prepare. This is the verse that really stuck in my mind that got me to preach this message right here. That I started looking at verse 17. It said, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah in verse 17. I looked, that word prepared there means that God appointed or God ordered. God, this is, you know, God's deal. You know, a lot of people think, well, God doesn't do anything that's bad. Well, overall, I mean, being swallowed by a big old fish is not good. I don't care how you look at it. It's not going to be good other than the outcome. Now, in the overall picture, it was good, you know, because we know what Jonah did. He got out of there and he went down and preached to Nineveh like he should have done to start with, if you know the rest of the story. But it was a seemingly a bad thing, but it turned out to be a good thing. But God prepared a fish. Who prepared it? It said the Lord prepared it. And so when you look at that, before he even prepared the fish, he prepared the storm. Where did the storm come from? Came from God. Everything that was made by him, right? Everything that was made. You know, and when you look at it, everybody in this story here, everybody and everything obeyed God except for Jonah. The wind obeyed, the waves obeyed, the men cast lots to determine who the bad guy was, and guess what? It fell out on Jonah. Guess who do you think hand was on that? The lots obeyed God, the fish that he prepared obeyed God. Later on, we didn't go that far, but there was a worm and a vine that came into the story later on when Jonah started feeling sorry for himself, and they obeyed God too. Everything and everybody obeyed God except for God's prophet. Now you're looking at us today, we're in the world, listen, you know what? The animals obey God, the wind obeys God, the weather obeys God, the earth obeys God, the universe obeys God, everything obeys God except for God's special creation, man. Amen. And now that's just everybody. The sad part is, the Christian, God's children are probably about as disobedient as the lost people are as far as doing what God wants us to do and wants them to do in the world we're living in today. But, you know, everything obeyed. But like I said, God's got his ways. We know that God made the storm. God made a fish. And all the other incidences, the Bible's full of cases where God kind of got people impressed with his will. God made that fish swallow Jonah. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I looked that up recently. Scourgeth. You know what scourgeth means? It means flogged. I was telling I think I preached about that last week. My daddy scourgeth me. He flogged me a few times. God's about to flog Jonah with a fish. Anybody ever got flogged with a fish? God's about to flog Jonah with a fish. And you know what happens? There comes a time when God is through speaking to us, and he was through speaking to Jonah through his word, but he was about to speak to him through his works. You know, if you won't listen to my word, you're going to listen to my works. You know, I imagine, like I said many a time, you know, sitting in a whale's belly 3 days and three nights. I'm just trying to picture that. You know, and I don't guess he had a lighter in there to, like, light up. You know, and what do you think old Jonah was thinking about? You know, like, weighing this out. What's worse, going to Nineveh to preach or sitting in a whale's belly? You know, I mean, God's got ways. Listen, you know, David said this in 119:67. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. What made David keep God's word? The affliction. He didn't get flogged with a fish, but he got flogged with a lot of other things. And a lot of, he kept his word. That's, God's got ways to do it. You know, God worked. It worked for David. It worked for Jonah too. And you know, when you look at it, when you run from God, you're not the only one that you think, well, I'll just run from God. It's on me. It's between me and God. I hear people tell me that all the time. No, it was between more than just you and God. Those sailors got in jeopardy because of Jonah's disobedience. Now, they ended up also finding about the true God. God's a multitasker. He can do more than one thing at a time. We can't, but he can. And he multitasked there, but right there. But you know what? Those guys had to throw the wares. The ship got in a storm because of Jonah. They threw the wares overboard. That's money. They threw the cargo overboard. They lost money because of that, and they almost lost their lives because of it too. And so, you know what? Don't think when you run from God that you're the only one that's going to be hurt by that. You know, listen. When you run from God, your life starts to unravel, and you start to panic. And I'm gonna tell you what. The people that are closest to you are the ones that get hurt. And speaking about that same thing right there, another thing we see this we saw. With the ship, this is kind of like a little side little note that goes with this message right here. No extra charge for this. A lot of times when our life starts to unravel, we throw everything out but the right thing. Amen. They said, listen, man, we're going to throw the wares over. We got to throw this over. We're going to throw the tackling, whatever we got to do. They should have just thrown Jonah overboard to start with. Huh? That would have solved it all. Now, they didn't want to do that, to their credit. I'll give you that. But listen here. Listen to this close. When you start running from God and your life starts to unravel, you panic and you start throwing things out. And, you know, a lot of times it's the wrong things. People get away from God. And I'm going to say, like I said, you can be in church and be running from God. You start running from God in church and your life starts to unravel. The first thing you want to throw out is the preacher. That's an amen point right there. Then the next thing, if it's bad enough, then if that doesn't pan out, then you want to throw out the church. You know, yeah, I've seen this happen over and over and over again. Listen, people running from God, their life unravels and they think, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the first thing they do, they get rid of the church. I mean, either quit going to it altogether or just think they're going to find another one and that's going to solve their problem. But their problem is themselves and it's not the church or the preacher. Their life is unraveling. They think, I got to go somewhere else and things are going to get better for me when they're not obedient to God's will to start with. Or they get in, they're involved in church in some ministry, they start running from God and they think, man, I've got to throw something out of my life. And so instead of throwing the problems out of their life, they throw the ministry of God that God's called them to do away. See, Jonah thought that going to Nineveh was going to be a problem for him. He found out not going to Nineveh was a bigger problem than going. Yeah, they throw that out of their life. And listen, there's no doubt there's things in our life you need to throw out. You just got to throw out the right things. Huh? You got to throw out the right thing. In Jonah, he needed to throw out his stubbornness. He needed to throw out his rebellion. He needed to throw out his disobedience. He needed to throw out his pride. All those things needed to be thrown out, not the wares of the ship. Well, Jonah, he's about to get prepared for revival here. Jonah finally says this. He says, look, they cast the lots and asked him some questions. And he said, look, what are we going to do? And he said, look, just throw me overboard. It'll solve your problems. In verse 12b, he said this, he said, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Well, it's upon him too, but you know, I thought, why didn't he do this? I always try to like reason things out when I read things in the Bible. I think, well, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Or what was his thinking on that? Why didn't Jonah just say, you know what, God, I repent. Talk to the ship, say, look, man, fellas, head to the next nearest port, drop me off. I'm getting a ship. I'm going to Nineveh. God would have heard it. God would have heard his prayer. I think the storm would have just calmed on out and they would have went on. I'll tell you what the problem was. Jonah would rather die than repent. He would rather die than do what God wants him to do. Church is full of people like that. Amen. Church is full of people like that that would rather die than do what God would have them do. Hear me. How many of God's people, some of you here, have an area in your life that you are totally unwilling to give to God? Amen. Cricket sound. Where's them cricket sounds, Daryl? I'm going to get to him one day. I swear on it. I'm going to get him. Mute it. How many of God's people have a line that they are unwilling to cross. No matter what God says, no matter what God's word says, if they heard an audible word from God, they'd say, no, I'm not going that far. How many folks have a limit to what they'll do for God? Amen. Jonah said he'd rather die, he thinks, than go to Nineveh. So God sent a storm in his life, and the storm didn't change his mind. And, you know, a lot of people are hard-headed like Jonah, you know. The little storm comes along. Well, it got worse. They threw him over, and he's in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, it says. And I didn't read this far, but look at verse 2, the very first line. I like this in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Isn't that amazing? You get in a whale's belly, and all of a sudden now you want to have a prayer meeting. Can't get you to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but boy, gets you in a whale's belly. And hey, preacher, how about we have prayer? Huh? How about let's have some prayer? Yeah. You know, things change, but why did he pray now? Because he's in an affliction. Chastening of the Lord. Man, discouraged, buddy. You know, when mom and daddy said don't do it, and you do it, and you get a whipping, man, that makes you think twice about doing it the next time, doesn't it? It did me. I don't know, some people are hard-headed. It worked real good for me. But God used this. You see how God uses it to bring us around. Listen, the storm was bad. The fish was bad. But the results were good. And Jonah himself had this little mini revival going on in his life. But man, he was hard-headed. He was hard-headed. Look what he had to go through to get to this point. And if I was a lot of you folks, I wouldn't get on no ship anytime soon. Huh? Amen right there. Don't get in the water anytime soon, right? We're going to go down into a creek down here and see what happens. Huh? You know what? That the people in Nineveh later on, the people in Nineveh repented quicker than Jonah did. And he was God's prophet. The men on the ship actually feared the Lord quicker than Jonah did. And he was God's prophet. And as I said, God did multitask, and those men found out that there was a one true God there. They found out about that. And that was a blessing from God. Jonah was the man that God wanted to go. And as I said, he was effective, brother. A million people. One guy. You know, a lot of times we think, man, I'm just one person. What can I do? If I don't do God's will, it's not going to make that much difference. It made a difference to a million Ninevites. It made a difference to a million Ninevites. God didn't pick anybody else. He said, Jonah, you're the man. He said, I want you to go. And it was, you know, in God's will is always effective. In God's will is always effective for your life and the lives of all the people around you and the lives that he affected there. The road to Nineveh is the road to revival. And that's the road to God's will. You know, when I think about this, what does God have to do to get your attention? Now listen, I mean, there's grace. You can look at this two ways. You say, well, God hadn't put me in a whale's belly and haven't gone through too bad of a storm right now. That's the grace of God. But at the same time, if he does, it's still the grace of God. Because God is dealing with you, man. There's no picture, bigger picture of grace is than when God starts to deal with you. I remember, man, when I was 20, let's see, I'm 29, I got married in 20. I was about 31 when I got saved. Now, I grew up in went to church, mainline denominational church, and they didn't really use the term salvation, this and that. It was just kind of come along and believe in God, and, you know, you'll get to heaven eventually, and didn't talk to me about asking Jesus into my life, forgiving some of our sins and that. And I got to looking back on my life from that point back, and from that point forward, I got saved. I'm a new creature, a new man. My life's different, and that old guy's dead, and he's different. But I thought, you know, well, how come? I wonder how come God didn't deal with me sooner, more severely sooner than he did. I'm not saying that he never spoke or never dealt with me. All those years up to, some people get saved when they're very young. But, you know, and I remember even thinking back this, and I wasn't, you know, and I'm not that deep theologically, but I wasn't then for sure. And I remember thinking it then, you know, that this is the time in my life that God is dealing with me. Amen. You know, there was we bought a house, and we moved, and somebody visited from the church, and Sherry had already started saying, "I'm going to start going to church." And she looked around, and then this church visited, she said one Sunday, "You want to go to?" I said, "Yeah, I'll go. Let's go to church." And she said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "I want to go to that one that visited us." I said, "They're the only ones that came and invited." And it was an independent Baptist church. Went there, started going, and about 3 or 4 weeks, they visited me some, got saved. But I remember thinking about this. I said, you know, that was the time. And I knew, I had this overwhelming feeling that if I rejected that calling at that time in my life, that God might not deal with me, you know, anymore. I just knew that, I just felt that way. I just said, you know, this is it. I mean, in a way, I don't know. You know, you kind of resist salvation. You're thinking about, you know. But I said, this is it. You know, I've got to respond in a positive way to God's call. God may not call me again. And so, you know, I don't know where you're at in your life, you know, here. But if you can see God dealing with you now in this point in your life, I don't know that God doesn't, you know, this was a servant of God that he prepared a fish for in a storm. And I don't know that God's going to do all that for everybody, especially if you're not already saved. I don't know that God's going to call you that hard. I mean, sometimes it's a still small voice he speaks. But there's a time, you know. I don't think anybody gets anywhere by accident. We're all at a certain place and time by appointment, you know. And so maybe you're at that place in your life that God's dealing with you somehow, some way. You know, don't reject that call. You know, hopefully God doesn't have to have a crisis in your life to get you to call on his name. Why not pray today, ask God to come into your life, ask God to reveal his will, and get going in the direction that God wants you to go. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray that you use this word to speak to each heart that's here. And Lord, no doubt many of us, Lord, out of God's will totally. And there's areas of our life that we're trying to keep God from dealing with. Lord, issues in our life we're trying to keep God from dealing with. Lord, maybe even from salvation just to obedience and following. Lord, you know the needs. Lord, I have no idea what everyone's need is here. But Lord, I pray you speak to the hearts. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, as we have our invitation time. Lord, it's my prayer that there's any here that are lost and know it. They know it. They're not saved. They've never called on your name. They've never given their life to you. Lord, I pray today will be that day they'll do so. Lord, they'll see the need. Lord, see the grace. See your grace, Lord, where you've given us time and time and time again, Lord, to repent and call on your name. Lord, see that as a blessing and not as a bad thing, Lord. So have your will and way during this invitation time. We'll trust you for the results. Thank you in advance for them. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.